On this week's episode of What the Puck, Troy Brower gets honest with the media, Varley returns to the phone booth and doesn't pull a groin muscle, and the Capitals drink Edmonton's milkshake on Canadian Thanksgiving. All this and more on this episode of What the Puck. Welcome to What the Puck. Thank you for listening to the show. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Enjoy your freedom of speech, and we're going to talk about the Washington Capitals and hockey in general on this podcast. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
You know what? I'd be a little bit better if there was a little bit more consistency with these Capitals. We have three games to talk about since the last time we talked. The Colorado game on Saturday, that's how I spent my Saturday night. And after that game, I think I cried myself to sleep because of that absolutely terrible play. I feel like we're back in the season when the lockout happened. These guys are starting off this season so slow, and it looks like they don't know how to play together. I am so confused on who this team is right now, because the whole thing was last year, well, they have a new coach, there's a few new players, they gotta get into their groove and kind of figure things out, and it took them half of a season to do that. But all that stuff should be gone by now, and we're seeing a team in the last three games at least that looks like they're bored and they don't really want to play.
Yeah, I mean, you can go and look at the first two periods against Carolina where they dominated, but they still couldn't find a way to put the puck in the back of the net. In the third period, they came out and just played poorly. Ended up losing a game that they should have won really easily after those first two periods. And then that carried over into Colorado, and that was terrible. And then it kind of carried over into the Edmonton game in that first period where they played okay, but they had what? Three shots on goal in the first period? Maybe. And then they picked it up, and they ended up actually dominating Edmonton pretty much the rest of the way. And so I think, I don't know, it's too early to say yet. We'll see what happens Wednesday against the Rangers to see if this team has sort of turned that corner. But they can't do that if they want to be able to make the playoffs. They can't have these poor starts. They're what, 2-4 now? Not terrible, but it's still not good. The rest of the Metropolitan Division is apparently struggling, so they're still sort of in there. They still have a chance. I believe they're, 4 points, so they're two games out of first. So they're in it still. They still have a chance. It's still early in the season. They've only played six games, but they certainly need to start playing better. The lines need to start gelling. I think the only line that has an excuse to not be gelled yet is the second line, because you have Brower. Like, I think we said this last week, Brower, who played all last season, Grabowski, who played in Toronto, and Brooks Like, who didn't play at all. He played, a couple of games because he kept getting hurt. So you still have some time for them. They had a nice goal last night, got really lucky in being able to get that one. That was kind of bogus, where he was like, oh, here's the puck, and I scored. I think even LaBarbera, he saved it and still went in, kind of a thing. That's the thing. How do you struggle to beat Jason LaBarbera? They made him look good last night. And, he had a good time during his career at one point. I think he was when he was with LA. But Jason LaBarbera, they should be able to beat Edmonton easily. And, they struggled a little bit in the first period, and they came out and played well. So we'll see if that carries over into Wednesday's game against the Rangers.
I hope so. I hope this struggle isn't going to last as long as it did last year. But I found something very interesting after that Colorado game on Saturday was Troy Brower went to the media and said, yeah, we're not getting it done. It looks like there's a bunch of guys out there who don't want to play. He had a lot to say about this team, and I agree with him. He's like, we shouldn't really be worried about the playoffs right now. We're at the beginning of the season. There's no reason to even talk about the playoffs because we're not playing like we even want to play in the playoffs. This doesn't make any sense. I'm glad Troy Brower said this, because I know if I'm feeling it, a lot of the other fans out there are feeling it. And Troy Brower at least looks like he wants to be here and he wants to play, unlike a few of his teammates. So I don't know if due to the fact that he actually did say that, or if it was just that loss that really got to these guys, but at least it looks like in the Edmonton game, these guys were at least trying, because in Colorado, against Colorado, they just looked frustrated because Varley was playing one of the best games I've ever seen him play. I mean, he was shutting everybody down on Saturday. He absolutely played amazing, and it looked like these guys just got frustrated, and halfway through the second, they were like, you know what? We're not going to be able to score. we can't do it. This guy's too good. There's no, we're not going to win this one. And it looked like they pretty much just gave up. I'm hoping what Troy Brower said kind of gets these guys in line and gets them to figure it out, because you got to be good against every team. You can't take nights off if you think it's going to be easy. And if it's a hard team like the Rangers, I mean, in the past, they've been a bitter rival for the Capitals. And they've knocked us out of the playoffs a few times. So you got to show up against teams with history behind them, and you've got to show up. It shouldn't matter who's playing. You should always be playing your hardest out there.
Well, Brower came out and made those comments about the team having a lack of effort, and I thought it was interesting that then Green came out and said that the effort is there. Gentlemen, you guys care to figure it out? Clearly, there's a little bit of a problem going on behind the scenes where the team's a little confused as to what the problem is. I think to some extent the effort is an issue. I think they think that their talent is just going to carry them through, and that's certainly not the case. And this has been the problem for a couple of seasons now. So this is certainly something that isn't new to these guys. Especially the core unit. So they need, you know, at some point someone's going to have to go and kick them in the butt and get them going and wake them up. And, you know, nothing like playing against the New York Rangers. I believe they're playing. Is they playing on NBC or is this game on Comcast?
No, it'll be on NBC. It's Wednesday night rivalry on NBC Sports.
You got the national audience. You got to think if there's a guy like that's going to pick it up, it's going to be Alex Ovechkin. He loves playing in front of big crowds. He's going to be playing at home against the Rangers. They knocked you out a couple times. He should be ready to go, and I think the Caps should be ready to go. And if they're not, if they come out and they come out flat, this Rangers team could make them pay. Although the Rangers are struggling too right now, so it'll be interesting. I mean, they went out to the West and just got killed in a couple of games, so it'll be interesting to see what happens Wednesday night to see which team comes out more fired up. I think after the game against Edmonton, the Caps should come out pretty fired up, and I'm hoping that's the case. You know, I hope maybe this is just another one of those Washington Capitals slow starts to the season, and that maybe now they'll start picking it up.
I hope so, but you brought up the fact that they don't think, or they shouldn't be thinking that their talent is just going to take them right through to the very end, because there's been that core of the young guns, except for Semin, who's gone, that they're still here. Backy's still here, Ovi's still here, Green's still here. So if they think the talent's going to get them through, I mean, they've had a pretty good chunk of time to get them through, and they haven't been there yet. I think this is a super talented group. I absolutely love the guys on this team. I think, you know, you have Ovi, you have Backy, you've got Brooks Like, you've got Brower, you've got Grabowski, you've got Carlson, you've got Alzner, you've got Green. These guys are very talented hockey players. This is not a mediocre team. So going forward, I don't know what to do to fix this team. The only thing I can think of is that Adam Oates has to move these guys around. I'm thinking, it just, if I was the coach, these guys are all talented. Why are they not getting it done? And if it is something like Brower said, well, it's they don't really want to play, that's one thing. But let's try it out at least. I mean, why not move Erad up to like the first line to play with Ovi, or move Grabowski up so he can possibly play with Ovi and Backstrom, and see if that could be your huge line that'll always get you points. I think just right now this should be like a chess game, and you got to move your guys around. But it looks like Oates doesn't want to do that.
Well, Oates didn't move the lines against Edmonton, and at first it wasn't working, and then they came on and turned it on. So I think he's going to leave it alone again against the Rangers, and I hope if they struggle against the Rangers and don't get a good result there, that he'll then go and change things up. But if you're trying to build chemistry with your lines, I mean, they should have it for the most part, but you don't want to move too many guys around, because then you're sort of ruining what you're already trying to do. I think the second line sort of has an excuse as to why they struggle. But again, they went out and they looked good against the Oilers, who I do think are a good team. They're an up-and-coming team. I don't think they have any goaltending. But, you know, they're still struggling a little bit. But I think the Capitals have a chance to go out and show who they are going to be against the Rangers. And if they don't, then Oates needs to switch things up and make some changes.
And let's see what happens. I mean, this is an early part of the season, so if you want to make changes, this is the time to do it. Let's talk a little bit about goaltending real quick. We brought this up last week, whether or not we thought we were talking about whether or not Holtby would be the guy to go with. Nuvi didn't have the greatest game against Colorado. He let a few slip by him that he should have had. But last night's game against Edmonton, I really think Holtby looked super aggressive. That Holtby that has that sass that we saw up against Boston in the playoffs 2 years ago. I don't know if he's kind of taken the jitters that he's had at the beginning of this season where he hasn't looked so hot and kind of shaken them off. But I was pretty impressed with Holtby's play last night.
Yeah, Holtby's looked pretty good recently. He's a little more fired up recently. I was hoping to see the Holtby of old after I was watching a clip of was it Rich Peverly in Boston 2 years ago when he took that swing at Holtby and Holtby kind of stared at him like, what are you doing? That thing was kind of fun to watch. So I certainly, he's the guy you want. He seems to be a guy who's very calm when he's in net. He played great against Edmonton, and I hope he continues going. He's going to have a tough game. Yeah, I always hate when they say it's like, oh, it's Holtby going up against Lundqvist. Not really. These guys, the goalies, when they say goalie against goalie, it's not how it works. Not really. They're not shooting at each other as entertaining as that would be to see. I want to see a shootout one time where the goalie gets to shoot it. I just want to see it one time happen. I just want to see how it would work. I think it would be funny to watch.
I'd like to see that too.
And he has to stay in the pads and the helmet and use the goalie stick. I think it would be freaking hilarious. Anyways, back to the point. I think Holtby's played great recently. I think he had a good game against Edmonton, Colorado, I don't know. So we'll see, I give him a couple more games, see where he's at. If I'm Michael Neuwirth, I'm like, hey, you guys gonna let me play ever? I mean, he turned in a good game in relief against Calgary. So if I'm Neuwirth, I'm a little annoyed.
Right. I mean, he did play in Colorado because they wanted Nuvi versus Varley, to have that old rivalry kind of pick up again. But, I mean, Nuvi didn't play very well. Varley, if it was a rivalry, Varley won on Saturday because he played an amazing game. So Nuvi was all right. I don't know what happened to his game on Saturday. But it's very much – they don't want to say it, but it's very much Holtby's team and Holtby's number one. They don't want to call him that, but he pretty much is. It doesn't really matter what Nuvi does. But let me tell you what happened last night. I went to Hooters because it was all-you-can-eat wing night, and a buddy of mine really wanted to go, and I said, I will go with you, but only if I get to watch the Capitals, because he's not a huge Cap fan. He's a weird guy. He doesn't really like a lot of things except for, video games. But I tried to get him to the Capitals, and I said, if we go to Hooters, we're going to watch the game. So we go into Hooters, and there's a couple of us there. And on one TV all the way in the back, the NHL Network is on. And I'm like, look, the Caps game's on back there. That's where we're heading. So I'm there. And I get to watch the first 5 to 7 minutes of the first period of the game. And then it's the NHL Network. So they're playing NHL on the fly. So they're jumping from game to game on the NHL Network. So I saw a little bit of Boston-Detroit last night. And I saw a little bit of the Capitals. So I went to the Hooters waitress there, and I said, could you get the local station for this game on, because this channel just keeps jumping around? And she had no idea what I was talking about. I'm like, I want to watch the Caps game. And she was just kind of like, but it's on. And I'm like, no, I know it's on this channel, but they're going to go to another game in 2 minutes after commercials. I just want to watch the Capitals game, and I just want that on my TV. And she's like, but it is on the TV. And I'm like, I know. I know that. I see that. But I want to watch the whole thing. And she's like, okay, I'll see what I can do. And she left the table, and nothing happened. It just stayed on the NHL Network, because I don't think she really got that this was not how it worked. And I told her, I'm like, look, they jump from game to game. It's just the whole league's station. It's not one game on at a time. They just show bits and pieces, and she just did not get it.
She couldn't understand.
No, not at all.
Well, it's still. I think Caps are still kind of growing up in that area, and it's in time. I think this is a situation where the team's still, it's still, like I said, they're still growing. And if they end up going on some long playoff runs, maybe win a cup, that'd be great. Then you'll certainly see people start understanding more and more, even the people who aren't hockey fans.
Yeah, but I didn't get to see Mike Green's graceful dive into the bench because I missed it last night.
That was awesome. You're like, this is actually happening right now. I'm kind of wondering, and credit to Steve Alexiou, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. No one's bringing that up. I love the fact that Mike Green falls, Oleksii immediately gets up and gets on the ice to...
Well, he immediately got out of the way before he got, a skate across the face.
Yeah, that's it.
And then he jumped. They gave him a lot of credit on the air, Lachlan Benintendi. That was just pretty cool. But he's just like, Mike, you all right? Okay, peace out. And it, jumped onto the ice. It was a good call on his part.
There's something else I really want to bring up, too, and this just reminded me because we were talking about, you were saying like they brought it up on TV, which was nice. But Craig Laughlin, during the Colorado game, brought up the fact that Ovechkin has only scored on Varlamov once, and it was in the KHL when Varley was playing for Lokomotiv. And then he said that Ovechkin's team was Moscow Dynamo, not Dynamo.
Well, it was a good effort. He tried. Maybe he sounded, I don't know, these guys.
Are we saying it wrong? Is it Dynamo and not Dynamo?
I feel like I've heard someone say it, Moscow Dynamo, before.
Okay, that's what I thought, because when he was like, Dynamo, and I'm like, what? That's not the team. If you want it to be, sure. That's fine, but whatever. I just thought that was interesting. I'm like, Dynamo? That doesn't make any sense. It's Dynamo. Dynamo is a pretty cool name.
It doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well.
Yeah. So what else is going on in Caps world?
A little bit of news is that John Erskine was actually held out the past two games. So the team recalled Nate Schmidt from Hershey and sent down Michael Latta and Connor Carrick. I thought Schmidt's actually looked okay. Looks like Erskine may be back Wednesday against the Rangers. So I got to think if anybody's going to be sit, it's going to end up being him. Although they may decide to keep him in and give Urbom a rest. Although at practice today, I believe Erskine was rotating in with Oleksii and Schmidt. And Urbom was still paired up with John Carlson.
How unhappy are you that Erskine is might be back?
I like John. Okay, hold on. Don't get the Erskine people against me. I like Erskine, but I think he's making too much money, and I think he's slow as all get out. Grass grows faster than this guy moves sometimes. I like Erskine. I like what he brings to the team. He's so slow. It drives me crazy that he just gets beat. If you have him going up against a fast, speedy winger, like, dude, unless he gets a nice hit into him, Erskine's screwed. He doesn't have the ability to keep up with those guys. He's just his foot speed is just not good enough. But I like that he's back. I think he's a good player. I just want to see Urbom score on a slap shot from the point, just to hear how much fun Lachlan is going to have calling that one.
I'd be down for that.
That'd be good. Just, he's going to Urbom with the bomb from the point. Lachlan's going to go nuts with that one. And then Beninati will roll his eyes and that whole thing.
How have you felt about Urbom's play so far? I've been pretty happy with him.
I think he's been okay. He's had a couple of little mistakes, but nothing that killed him. I think last night he had a point where he's supposed to dump the puck, and he muffed it or just completely botched the play. And Edmonton may have gone into a scoring chance, but thankfully it worked out in the Caps' favor. But, I think he's looked okay. I think we need to see a little bit more from him. I think they're giving him too much right now, having him play with John Carlson. I think right now he should be having third pairing minutes, and he's sort of been pressed into more duty. I think the fact that Oates put him with Carlson shows that Oates has faith in him right now, or at least Calle Johansson has faith in him. I like what I've seen from him so far. I still think I need to see a little more.
Yeah, I like what he's doing right now, and I think he's just got to gel with this team a little bit more, because he did come in off of a trade after training camp and everything. But he does have history with Oates, so I'm happy with what he's doing right now, and I'm just interested to see what else he can do. But I like what he's doing so far. Well, that seems like that's pretty much it for what's going on in Caps world. So let's go up 83, and let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, well, the Hershey Bears got a few new guys, Connor Carrick being one of them. How is Hershey doing right now?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey has gone 0-1 with their only game being a loss to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins 3-1. They are now 0-1-1 on the young season. They play again in back-to-back games in St. John's against the Ice Caps. I think that's pretty interesting how you play back-to-back games in the same building.
That's
got to be nice. It's got to build up some rivalry, some tension, guys, especially if some guys are making runs at each other. It certainly should be interesting to see what happens in those. In Reading, their season actually starts in their home opener against the South Carolina Stingrays on Saturday. That's pretty much all the interesting news in Hershey and Reading.
I will tell you real quick, this is not going to be great for a podcast, but go on to Twitter and check out Tomas Kondratic's Twitter picture that he put out there today. He got himself some stitches on his face, and he looks like he got a little messed up. Looked like he got a puck to the mouth or something. But he got a nasty hit on the face.
Oh,
you just see that?
Yeah. I just pulled it up. Tomas, looking good, man.
He's a hockey player. That's what you're supposed to look like.
He looks like he got in a fight with the Joker.
Well, you look nervous. Is it the scars? You want to know how I got him?
All right, well, if that's pretty much it for Up 83, we're going to take a quick break, and these are a few words from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck?
What the Puck
is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, What the Puckers. Come join me and the rest of the Baltimore Sports Report Network for their first annual cornhole tournament, Saturday, November 2nd at 12 p.m. at the Green Turtle in Pasadena, Maryland. It's only $20 per team of two, and the grand prize is two tickets to Ravens Steelers on Thanksgiving. It's going to be a good time. Go to BaltimoreSportsReport.com/tournament to enter, and we will see you November 2nd. All right, now we're going to go around the NHL. Of course, there's plenty of hockey going on. I got to watch 2 to 3 games, at least bits and pieces of it, at Hooters last night. And Coach Dan's going to let us know about what else is going on with the NHL. So tell us all about what's going on around the NHL.
Well, first of all, former Washington Capitals news. Jeff Halpern has signed a 1-year, 2-way deal with the Phoenix Coyotes. So congrats to him. He made his way back into the NHL. Hopefully he does well out there in Phoenix. Hang out with former Washington Capitol Mike Ribeiro and all of his jewelry and attractive wife and all that fun stuff.
And his movies like Signs and Unbreakable.
What a twist!
That's well played. Buffalo's Patrick Coletta has been suspended for 10 games after a check to the head of Columbus defenseman Jack Johnson. Now, Brendan Shanahan said in the video that whoever it was would have been suspended one way or another, but that Coletta got 10 games because he is a repeat offender. I saw the video before recording, and it's not a good hit. I don't think he was intending on hitting him in the head, but I do think it was avoidable in the end, and I think Coletta earned this long suspension for him. Vancouver's Alex Edler has been suspended 3 games for an illegal check to the head of San Jose's forward Thomas Hurdle. Now, after his showing where he scored those 4 goals, the last one being a little bit flashy, I'm not surprised that somebody may have given him a little bit of a shot, and Edler, will end up sitting 3 games for that. Montreal's George Parros is almost symptom-free after taking that nasty fall during a fight against Toronto. You remember that?
I do remember that,
He face-planted? Well, yeah. I believe Marc Bergevin, the Montreal GM, came out and said that Parros is doing much better and that he's almost symptom-free. So that's pretty good news for him. That is pretty awesome. And finally, Philadelphia GM Paul Holmgren has gone on record stating that Chris Pronger, who has not played in the NHL in the past 2 years due to concussion and eye injuries, will never play again. Now, this is interesting because Pronger is still on the Flyers' books, and so I believe the 2016-2017 season. Wow. However, the Flyers will just put him on long-term injury reserve, giving them some cap space back. Now, if Pronger retires, I believe that he then the cap space then disappears, and the Flyers are going to be in a lot of trouble. So interesting to see what happens there with their cap space if Pronger ends up retiring. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
It's interesting to think about. If somebody has an injury, I mean, I guess he's going to be the one that has to declare it career-ending. Like, I don't know if the Flyers can, like, force him to go to a doctor and have that doctor say, you can't play hockey ever again. I mean, maybe it's his decision when that happens. That's like a sticky situation because you got to think the Flyers are like, we're paying him a lot of money and he's off to the side. And don't get me wrong, it is terrible, absolutely terrible that his career is ending because of concussions and eye injuries and stuff like that. But you got to just think as a business, the Flyers they have to be worried about the money behind him. Just the fact that he's on the sidelines for the rest of that time for that contract.
My guess is that he's going to end up staying. He's not going to retire until after his contract is over, so that the team doesn't end up getting sort of screwed over salary cap wise, I guess would be one way to put it. My guess is he'll still be on the team technically, but they're going to put him on long term injury reserve every season until his contract ends.
All right, that sucks to hear. You never want to hear about an athlete going out that way, but hopefully, these injuries, even though it does seem like they're career ending, hopefully this is something that he won't have to live with for the rest of his life, because concussion symptoms and everything can really, I mean, physically and mentally mess with your head. So,
I mean, yeah, that is pretty scary stuff.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll be able to work through all this and, best of luck to him, but Let's get back to a little bit of happier stuff here. That's it for around the NHL. Let's talk about what the Capitals will be doing from now until we record another podcast next week. Now, everybody is wondering how come we did this so early. Well, it's because the Capitals have a rare scheduled Wednesday night game. This is going to be an NBC Sports Network, and this is their special Wednesday night rivalry game.
Dun, dun, dun.
The New York Rangers are coming to D.C. to the phone booth to go up against the Washington Capitals. The game is at 8 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. On Saturday, October 19th, the Blue Jackets come to D.C. to battle the Capitals. That game is at 7 p.m. It will be on Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Tuesday night, October 22nd, the Capitals fly and spread their wings and go up to the Peg to go against the Jets. That game is at 8 p.m. It's on Comcast Sportsnet. The Jets, Winnipeg, you know, those old Southeast Division rivals that we used to have.
Because that made sense. Why are the Capitals playing most of their games early in the season against the freaking Western Conference?
They played
six games so far, and looking at it, I believe one has been against the Eastern Conference, the game against the Hurricanes. Their second one will be against the Rangers, third against the Blue Jackets, and then they go back and play the West again, the Jets, Oilers, Flames, and Canucks. What? Who came up with this scheduling?
Well, that's Gary Bettman and his crew, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they're just hoping to get those West games out of the way, and then they can focus.
I guess. Well, the Caps go on that Western Conference swing where they play in Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. That makes sense. Then they come back and they play the Flyers. It's in Philly, but at least it's relatively close to home. And they have a lot of games against. Even then, they have a couple of games and they play against the West, the Wild, Coyotes, Avalanche. What the hell? This scheduling is just. What are you doing?
In 2 weeks, we're going to be staying up late. All those Western Canadian games are at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So.
Oh. No, well, thankfully,
DVR works.
One of those is a Saturday game. That Monday game, I'll catch the first, and then I'm getting up at 6:30. Screw that. I'm not staying. Good luck, boys. You're on your own.
All right, well, that's pretty much it for What the Puck. Thank you for listening in. There's plenty of ways to listen in, so check us out. We are on iTunes, we are on Stitcher, we are on the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and we are on whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. So it does not matter if you have an Apple product, an Android product, or if you're on a Mac or PC at work and want to listen to a show about hockey, you can just choose whichever one fits you best. And if you want to listen to old shows, they are archived on whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Now, if you want to help out What the Puck, the best way to do that is to let people know about us. So be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. And let them know if they are a Caps fan or a hockey fan that they should be listening to What the Puck. If you want to talk hockey with us, we are available on Twitter. So follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. I had an article go up last week about Martin Erett and what I think the Capitals should do with him and what the possibilities they may have with him going forward, because having him on the fourth line doesn't make any freaking sense. So that's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's where you'll get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. And make sure you like the show and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in that title. Or follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. So make sure you're being social. Make sure you're watching the Capitals. And thank you for listening to What the Puck. That's pretty much it for this week. And here is Coach Dan with our Brizgalov forecast.
Brizgalov is crank.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
On this week's episode of What the Puck, Troy Brower gets honest with the media, Varley returns to the phone booth and doesn't pull a groin muscle, and the Capitals drink Edmonton's milkshake. All this and more on this episode of What the Puck. Yay, that worked.
I thought you wanted to say Canadian on Canadian Thanksgiving.
Damn it! Except now, here is our forecast for... I screwed that up. I was like, Izgalov, Brizgalov. That's not correct at all.